Welcome to worship here at St. Paul's. My name is Pastor Brett Nauman. I come to you from Trinity in Kiel. It's my pleasure to be with you this evening as we continue our look at the series God on Trial. Tonight, seeing how we put God on trial as the devil gets us to lob our accusations against our Lord. We join together in our opening hymn, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed, hymn 410. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light of the darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Be our light and scatter the darkness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, and in all that we have not done. Forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver and restore us, that we may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. Let us rest in his peace until the rising of the sun, when we shall serve him in newness of life. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace now drawing to a close. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. By your word, keep our faith burning brightly that we may walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
It is finished. What?
We read the passion history of our Lord tonight, events coming to us from Mark chapter 15. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You said so." "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of."
But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed.
Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him, Pilate asked, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one that you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. They shouted,
"Crucify him."
"Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, wanting to satisfy the crowd. Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him,
"Hail, Jews!"
Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The word of our God that we would set our hearts to this day comes to us from Job, chapters 40 and 42. The Lord responded to Job and said, "Will the one who makes charges against the Almighty dare to correct him? The one who accuses God should make his case." Job responded to the Lord. He said, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this who spreads darkness over my plans with his ignorant words?' I have made statements about things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will ask you questions, and you will inform me.' My ear heard about you. Now my eyes see you. So I despise myself. I repent in dust and ashes." The word of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, accusations are powerful. Have you ever been accused of something that you didn't do? That can be really painful, can't it? Accusations are awful, even if they're not true. Accusations can ruin reputations. They can destroy relationships. Even if they're not true, accusations can bring down world leaders. They can destroy the trust that's at the foundation of a marriage. Accusations are awful. A man named Job knew all too well the infuriating power of accusations. The suffering of Job is legendary in that one day he lost almost everything. All of his cattle, all of his oxen, all of his sheep, all of his camels, even all of the servants that attended to them. In one day there were more than 10,000 casualties. All of his wealth was wiped out at once. He went from being one of the wealthiest people on the planet to becoming one of the poorest. In one day, all of his income, his entire life savings, and his retirement portfolio were wiped clean. And the saddest thing is that wasn't even the worst of it. On that same day, all of his kids happened to be together in a house having a party together. They were dining together, and a wicked wind came whipping up, and it destroyed that house, collapsed the house, killing all seven of his sons, all three of his daughters, all in one day. Can you imagine that day? If that were you, how would you have responded? What would you have said? What would you have done? Job does something rather remarkable. He tears his robe, he shaves his head, and he falls to the ground in worship, and he says these well-known words of faith. He says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Job was devastated, no doubt, but in all of this, the Bible says that Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. That's something. But unfortunately for Job, it actually got worse. Soon after that terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day occurred, Job began to lose his health. Maybe you know from experience how chronic pain can just really mess with a person's mind. Job had some major chronic pain. Boils developed from the bottom of the soles of his feet all the way to the top of his head. It would have been unlikely that Job would have ever even been able to sleep. It would have been unlikely that Job would have even been able to sit. Job's only comfort in life, if you can even call it that, the Bible says, was to take a broken piece of a pot and to scrape the pus out of his pores. How awful. And then along comes his wife with some incredibly unhelpful advice. What does she say? Job, just curse God and die. Be done with it all. This is ridiculous. And what does Job say? Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Wow. Maybe you know what it's like in life to get hit with one thing after another. Financial problems, relationship problems, health problems, the loss of loved ones. Sometimes they kind of feel like they're hitting us like relentless waves, one right after another, threatening to just suck us down under. Well, at least you can turn to your friends, right? Job had his friends. They came over for a visit, and at first they just sat there in silence, which actually, to be honest with you, is sometimes one of the best things a friend can do, just to be there, to offer support. You don't even have to say a thing. In Job's case, that was actually the only good thing that his friends did, because as soon as they opened up their mouths, things went from bad to worse. See, his friends came to Job, and they had this reasoned, rationalized conclusion. They kind of came up with this idea, you know, Job, there's no way anybody should be going through the horrible, rotten, no good, very bad stuff that you're going through unless they did something seriously bad. They must have done something totally terrible to torque off God. This is what they said. They said, Job, this wouldn't happen to a righteous person. What sin are you hiding? It's at this point in Job's life that things take a terrible turn for the worse. Instead of this content individual, even in the midst of his difficulties, Job now turns the tables and he cries out against God. He says, God, if I've sinned, what have I done to you, God? You who see everything that we do. God, why have you made me your target? God, have I become a burden to you? Giving into despair, Job puts God on trial. And Job accuses God of being uncaring. He accuses God of being unjust. He accuses God of being some cosmic bully bent on making his life miserable. It's here that Job crossed the line. It's here that the devil finally won. The devil finally got Job to wonder, why is God doing this to me? The devil finally got Job to accuse God, you shouldn't be doing this to me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever put God on trial? Maybe we wouldn't use those specific words, but aren't those accusations right there, floating under the questions, Lord, why? Why would you take my loved one from me at this point in my life right now? Lord, why do things at church have to be so hard? Lord, why do these relationships with other people have to be so difficult? Lord, am I not good enough for you? Lord, look at all the stuff that I've done for you. Lord, why? Why am I having to suffer for so very long? It seems like it just never lets up. I'm tired. I'm worn out. Why? Me. You ever respond to life's challenges and frustrations with accusations, accusing God. God, this isn't fair. God, this isn't not right. God, you're not being fair. As if you're calling to God to take the stand, to be able to go ahead and explain himself. But here's the neat thing. In our text for today, we do get to listen to God. God does speak. He answers those questions. What does he say? He says this. He says, will the one who makes charges against the Almighty dare to correct him? The one who accuses God should make his case. He says, I'll ask the questions. He says, Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Job, where were you when I set the boundaries of the seas in place? Job, where were you when I hung the stars in their places at night? Job, who's the one who's in charge of bringing the rain and the snow and the lightning? Job, you've gone too far. So what happens? Job is brought to his senses. He says, he concludes our text for today by saying, I despise myself. I repent in dust and ashes. The Lord puts Job in his proper place. And that place, frankly, is a perfect place to be. It's a place of repentance. And my dear brother and sister in Christ, that's exactly the place where you and I need to be. Because when we suffer, and when the pain doesn't go away, and when the trials and the tribulations and the challenges just keep happening again and again in life, it doesn't take long for the devil to be right there whispering in our ear the same thoughts that used Job's friends to bring to him. Boy, you must have done something really bad. Something seriously terrible to torque off God, that all these terrible, horrible, no good things are happening. The devil's really good. When he does that, we need to remember the account of Job. Remember how Job is described at the beginning of the book as an upright man, one who walked in the way of the Lord, one who did what God asked. But remember, more than Job the man, remember all the more the God who sustained Job. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus who suffered far worse than anything you or I will ever face in this life. Suffering something that was far worse than anything Job even ever had to face in this life. Jesus was arrested and abused. He was humbled and he was humiliated, and all for what? For what you and I did. For the times when we have sinfully accused God of not caring. And notice what Jesus does. Unlike Job, Jesus doesn't crack. Jesus doesn't break. Instead, what does he do? He willingly takes all of our sinful accusations, all of the times when we haven't been content in life's situations and circumstances, and he puts them on himself. And he willingly carries each and every one of them to that cross on Calvary. Dear brother and sister in Christ, when you are tempted to accuse God, remember what God has done for you. He is your Redeemer, and he lives, and he's right there beside you right now. He endured suffering for you, and the one who endured that suffering for you knows how to sustain you when you suffer. There's no need to despair. There's no need to accuse. There's no need really even to understand, because we know the one who does. We know that God knows. May his name be ultimately that which is praised. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Grant peace to your people, Lord, that amid the stresses of life we may rest quietly, knowing all is right with you. Since your Son has paid for every sin, defeated every enemy, and rules at the right hand of your throne in heaven, let us fall asleep each night in peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn.